Hello, podcast listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in to GrowCast today. Jordan River here. I've got a great episode for you. Hota Erb is today's guest. Maybe you've seen him on Instagram. He's a very talented grower from the East Coast. And he's going to talk today about why he's so passionate about growing, some of his favorite grow advice, some grow strategies, and his work with veterans as well. So it's a really great episode, very, very entertaining, and a nice length for you guys who like these longer shows. Before we jump in, though, let's give a little love to today's sponsor, Newt Tools, everybody. Just go to newttools.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off your Newt Tools. And members of mygrowpass.com get 25% off all of their Newt Tools, everybody. You've seen these Newt Tools. They have patented the Newt Needle. It's an amazingly simple little device allowing you to precisely measure your nutrients without ever wasting a single drop. No more pouring and sloshing and staining your clothes. You just use this syringe to extract exactly how much you need, apply it to your reservoir slowly and evenly, and then use it to mix in your nutrients as well. It's a stainless steel needle and a very high quality syringe, so you're going to love it. Go to newttools.com, promo code GROWCAST for 10% off. Listen, if you're doing synthetics, you should probably try these out. Newttools.com, everybody, and when you're ready to save 25%, mygrowpass.com for our membership program. All right, everybody, no more housekeeping. Just thank you all for listening. Best of luck in your grows. Let's jump in with Hota Erb, everybody. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started with the show, please tell a friend about GrowCast. Share the show. Check out The Homegrown Helpers, Rob Smith's growing podcast, and my new show, The Coffee Health and Science Podcast. Really interesting episode I just did about interesting coffees, including elephant dung coffee and weasel puke coffee. Go give it a listen. You will be entertained. All right, today's guest, I'm so excited to speak to. I've seen him all over the place. We've been kind of crossing paths a few times here or there. I see him up on Instagram. Hota Erb is on the line. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic.
Oh, I love
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. I'm really, really excited to be here. I feel like I'm walking on the ground that giants have stepped before me. So I'm really excited to be here.
I appreciate awesome. That, man.
I do enjoy the podcast, and it's exciting. So I'm glad to be here.
So I so much appreciate that. And, you know, I have been extraordinarily blessed with the level of talent that we've gotten through here. And you are not standing out like a sore thumb amongst those people, man. You truly are a very talented grower.
I don't know if you consider yourself,
you know, like an expert. You know, I talk to some people and they're like, there are no cannabis experts, but you are truly, you truly have the results to show. Do you feel like you're a master grower? Sorry, I did that to you.
I love that term. It's a fantastic term. No, I feel, let's put it this way. I feel comfortable with the plant. Mm-hmm. I feel like it reacts well. I understand how to treat it. I have a good understanding and respect, and I honor the plant every day. So I get results. And that's kind of how I look at it. I don't, nobody likes to call them, well, some people do, but I don't think anybody likes to be called a master grower.
Right.
Everybody makes mistakes and has problems, and none of my plants are perfect. You know, I get,
but you have experience and,
yes,
and you have respect.
Yes.
I like that a lot.
That's what I appreciate. Actually, I don't, I've only entered one cup. I don't actually enter my flower into competitions and stuff. I actually really just enjoy the look on people's face when I give them some.
Oh, I love that.
It's absolutely amazing. Here in Massachusetts, we're lucky that it's legal to gift cannabis. And as long as you're gifting under an ounce, there's
That's
no
cool.
problem. So I love to share what I do with people that I meet. It's very exciting. It might be part of the reason why I have so many followers on Instagram.
That helps. That definitely helps.
I've met a lot of people and done a lot of guerrilla marketing with stickers and buds and seeds. But it's all in love.
It's
all really about the plant and spreading community and building community and those types of things. So.
At Hota Erb on Instagram, you can find him, give him a follow, check out all the delicious pictures. So listen,
Absolutely.
Man, for the audience, let's give a little a brief background here. You started growing decades and decades ago. I know there was a hiatus in there, but talk to me about kind of how you got in and then how you got in again and how things have differed from those two different stints.
It's incredibly amazing how far the industry's come. But I grew my first plant somewhere between 1991 and 92. I set up a small ebb and flow tub in the closet of my apartment. Me and my roommate happened to meet a mutual friend who had come back with some seeds from Amsterdam, and he was looking for some place to get those seeds going. So it was a natural natural match. I had enjoyed it. I've been smoking since I was 14 years old, so I've been smoking for a while already. But I was in Tampa, Florida, which is a very very scary place to be. Not only are there tremendous amount of law enforcement down there, but it's also really scary from a crime standpoint. There's a ton of crime, and it's a crazy society down there. It's a fantastic place to visit, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend living there.
or maybe growing an illegal grow and being a target down there.
Right, exactly. So, for the most part, though, in the pre-legalization times, you didn't talk to anybody anyway.
Right. How do you get safe, advice? Right.
Yeah. So that was the problem. I used to read High Times. You know, I'd like wait for that Ask Ed column to come out. But that was pretty much it. And there was just a couple of us. We had two or three other folks that we, friends of ours, that also at the same time started growing. So we kind of talked to each other a little bit and figured out what we were doing. And the only place we could really get equipment was from Worms Way, which was the grow store that was down in Temple Terrace, Florida at the time. It was one of the first of the Worms Way chain in the country. And it actually sold lights, and it sold ebb and flow tubs, and you could actually buy a professional set of equipment. And they also sold, you know, A and B, which was your, right. your two-part nutrient set, right? A and B, and you mix them at different amounts for your veg and your flower.
Right.
So that was kind of how we started, but you couldn't talk to anybody. You had to, you know, use the tomatoes code word and I'm growing some tomatoes hydroponically. What should I use? Oh, you need more calcium. That's a good idea. So calcium would be great. Interestingly enough, if you ever grow tomatoes and you see some brown spots on your tomatoes, that's because you have a calcium deficiency in your tomatoes. I actually learned that as well.
Oh, interesting. Gotta get that Cali magic.
Yes, exactly. CalMag is a wonderful thing, not just for cannabis plants, but for a lot of things. So that was about all you could find. And other than that, you just tried to, you know, see if you could figure out what the plant was doing.
Right.
And
did you have success back then?
I would say that the first crop was terrible, actually,
right.
because we didn't know anything about flushing.
That's normal.
We ran nutrients all the way through. We didn't know how to tell when it was done, so we let them go way too long. But after that, we, you know, tried again, and we learned, and we also figured out that we liked the taste of it when we used soil as opposed to hydroponics at the time. So a lot of us switched over to starting to use soil in pots. Some people were still using, the Rockwell cubes and ebb and flow because it was faster and they could produce more. And, you know, if you're going to take the risk, you might as well make the risk rewarding.
Right.
But me and a friend of mine kind of broke off from the group, and we basically just did some very small closet grows. He had a couple small closets, and we kept experimenting with the mix of different things you could do in a little small closet grow. But then I had a kid, and
that shuts the grow down pretty quick right there.
I'd say about 4 months previous to actually the child being born, we actually had some people come through our doors with guns.
Oh boy, that's fun.
So that was it was a tremendously fun experience, especially having a pregnant wife at the time. It was not a good experience.
Yeah,
not a good experience. So it said to me, "You should get out of this business." And I said, "That's a good thing." And I did. So I got out of the business, and I went back to doing the food thing I was doing for a little while until I was able to jump to computers. And computers was the thing that I wanted to do. I grew up in the food business and was looking to get out of that as well. But I basically started working in computers.
Nice. And you and me both, brother.
I rode the .com wave. So I was part of, I worked for Y2K, at GTE Data Services in Tampa, Florida, where they thought the world was going to end.
Great.
I stayed up all night making sure that our systems would stay online.
Wow.
That the phone systems would still work. Right.
Stunning.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy to think about. And it was amazing watching how much preparation they went into and how much money they spent and all these things that they did. They printed out loads and loads of books and stuff, but we could go on about
Whoa.
That. And you and I will talk about that.
Yeah, I feel like
time.
Exactly. I feel like we need to have this conversation, man. That fascinates the hell out of me.
But
the whole time you move out of, you know, you just move completely away from the cannabis industry, but you're seeing out of your peripheral vision all the change that's occurring in first just a few states and at first just medically, and then it explodes. When was your interest peaked again?
Well, it was more peripheral, to be honest with you. I even, you know, I wasn't even really reading High Times. I wasn't engaged. I was focused really on other things.
Right.
You know, I was still a regular smoker, still smoking all the time. I think it's actually one of the things that allowed me to do as well as I did in that industry, because it's a very stressful industry.
Oh, I bet.
It's very, very hard to work in that industry, especially at a high level.
Preventing Y2K is exhausting.
Yes, exactly. So shortly after that, I got hired by Monster.com, and they actually moved me to Massachusetts.
Damn.
And my wife was from New Massachusetts, and I was from New York originally, and we really wanted to get back to the Northeast because Florida, as I said, is not really a great place to live. So I didn't want my kids to grow up there. The school system isn't great down there. And so, you know, again, I felt it was a dangerous society. So let's move, you know, I took this ride. Let's go ahead and do that. So I was up at, I was up for Y2K just after Y2K. So I got here about 2001, 2002.
Okay. So way before legalization.
Way before legalization. And I really did not think too much about it until some years later. I was actually doing some, after I was done working at Monster, I was doing some consulting work out in Seattle.
Yes.
And I was actually there the year of legalization, and I went to HempFest at that year.
Nice.
So just timing is a wonderful thing, right? And this is, I think, 2013, 2014-ish. So I went, I actually went to HempFest, and it was awesome. So funny. One of my favorite memories is the cops in Seattle said, because they posted, you know, the cops, "We will be there. And we will have Doritos." And so what they did was actually they printed up thousands and thousands of bags that actually had the new legalization rules on the back of the bags handed them out for free at frickin' HempFest in Seattle.
That's fucking
How
genius.
Cool is that? How fucking cool is that? Excuse me. Sorry.
No, not at all. And that's appropriate. But, it is fucking genius. Yeah, it is very fucking cool. And I'll tell
and
you
it
why.
So
it's
cool.
Because you're kind of thinking outside of the box. I'm so tired of the stagnant thinking.
Right.
Now, what did you take away from seeing all this? Was this like, oh my God, this is coming nationwide? Like, this is real?
Well, to be honest with you, it scared the hell out of me. I got so nervous. I had to leave after like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There was just too many people smoking in the open.
Whoa.
And after years and years of conditioning and being such a closeted smoker and, you know, being concerned that somebody might actually see me and it might jeopardize my job, and my standing in the IT
Whoa.
Industry.
Yeah, sure.
I got a little bit of paranoid and a little freaked out. I saw a bunch of cops coming through on bicycles, and I'm like, you know what? It might be time for me to leave. It was getting a little crazy.
I don't like crowds to begin with, so I don't blame you.
Yeah. But you know, I got to meet Ed. Finally,
nice.
I got to meet Ed Rosenthal and talk to him for like a half an hour because nobody was even really around him. And I got the Grower's Bible from him, and he signed it for me, and I've read that thing a dozen times.
Nice, absolutely.
I got to see Jorge Cervantes speak on a grower's panel.
Right.
I saw they had a great education tent there, where there was like a lawyer's venue for an hour, and then there was this grower's panel, and it just really it re-woke me up.
Reignited your passion for the industry.
Yeah. And so shortly after they legalized here in Massachusetts, it was in June, and I had already been talking to my, you know, one of two people that I still knew that smoked, right? Because that's the other thing is, as you get older, you run out of people you know that smoke.
Right.
You run out of people. You have very, very limited channels to get cannabis from. The older you get, the less people you know, and the harder and harder it is, and you just kind of get what anybody has. I was talking with a friend of mine who also was kind of still connected to the industry and kind of was watching what was going on. And he went out and he got some seeds and he got me some clones. What happened was, about June-ish, my wife said to me, she's like, "Well, I'm getting a dog." And I said, "Well, I'm getting a tent." And it was 2017. And so my friend said, you know, he had some seeds going and he was going to give me some clones. So July 1st, 2017, I was officially back up and running.
So, you had already been leaning soil. Did the regenerative soil movement kind of coincide with you getting back into growing? Because I know you're big on super soil, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely. That actually came later. Because that was only last February. So that's a year almost into my getting back into growing.
Nice.
One of the first things I did was watch a bunch of YouTube videos by John Burfello, who's an awesome, he was a High Times Cup winner in like 2012, 2013. He's out of Vancouver, Canada. He did this whole awesome series where he did a full room, 47 clones off of the same plant, did the full room start to finish. And actually zoomed in and would do whatever he was doing. So if he was doing defoliating, he would do it on three or four plants. He did like a dozen clones in front of you and showed you exactly what he was doing. And this was, it was so amazing. And, you know, for me, this is like, you know, over 20 years since I had actually grown my own.
And here's a guided process of exactly what to do in video form, 720p.
Right.
Yeah, that must
Correct.
Be nice. So Correct. Yeah, it was a whole new world for you.
So I used that. I had started going to all the local grow stores because it was legal and I could actually talk to them about cannabis now. I didn't have to say tomatoes anymore. And I knew for a fact that at least most of those people in those stores must be growing.
Totally.
Right. Because they're all, you know, I mean, these guys don't get paid a lot of money.
Yeah, no, that's true. Talk to me about that shift though. Sorry to kind of cut you off here, but blends nicely into my next point, which is, you know, we were talking before off air and we were talking about the Instagram scene and you were mentioning how you struggled to get into Instagram because of that same factor, the tomatoes to cannabis thing. Like how hard was it to be like, am I going to create a digital profile that's going to literally track my activities and expose this to the world? Like that must have been hard. And then follow up.
Especially as somebody who's an IT worker.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. But then you must also understand, though, on the flip side of this, that if everybody is doing this, that's kind of how you break the system.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. You have to break the stigma around it.
Everyone's doing it. Yeah. If everyone's guilty, then how are you going to punish people?
Right. So I started going to a grow shop that was around the corner from my house that was owned by Tommy Fox, who's the owner of Fishhead Farms.
Right.
Shout out to Fishhead product.
Fuck
right?
Yeah. Hell yes, yeah.
Exactly. So I was just talking with him and he was kind of my new kind of source of grow information because he's a medical guy in Rhode Island and he'd been growing his own medically for a good amount of years. So I'm like, wow, I found somebody who I can actually talk to about growing and he's in a grow store. This is great. I can ask about the products and we can talk about stuff. And that was awesome. And I'd show him pictures. You know, and usually Tommy's funny because he's like, usually it's ugly baby pictures, but you always had beautiful baby pictures. So he won't call my pictures ugly baby pictures, but that's what he used to call them was, you know, show me your ugly baby pictures. I'm like, yeah, man, here, check this out. And even that was difficult, right? Because I have just one Polaroid from back in the day, right?
Yes.
Because you couldn't photo your grows because if you sent them off, you had to use film. And film had to be developed, so you had to hand that film to somebody else. And guess what? If the film had something illegal on it, the film companies were supposed to turn that shit over to the cops.
Totally, yeah. And if you develop it yourself, you're walking around with like admissible evidence on your person.
Correct.
Like, what the fuck? Good point.
Yes.
Yeah. But again, it's the cheapening of that. Like, if there are all these people with all their pictures online, it's like game's right. over. So was he the one to convince you to open an account?
He is absolutely the one who convinced me to open an account. So he's like, dude, you need to post on Instagram. You need to put that up on Instagram. Here, I'm like, there's no way I'm posting my pictures online. I do this stuff for a living. I worked for one of the largest internet companies. Monster was the 26th most visited website for a couple of years. You know, I mean, I worked for very large Fortune 500 companies, and jeez. I was still working for one. So I had to be careful. I'm like, there's no way I'm posting this online. I'm getting paid like a lot of money, and I have, you know, 30 people reporting to me, and I'm in charge of all the data warehousing for these corporations. You know, I'm literally handling 16 million SKUs for these retail companies. And there's no way they would let me have that job if they knew that I was smoking.
Right.
You know, and growing.
Monikers go a long way though. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
people are cool.
He eventually convinced me. He convinced me, and you know, Instagram is the one social media platform that you could create a relatively anonymous profile. Granted, if they want to find you, they can find you. It's linked to your phone. It's linked to your email address, whatever. They can get to you. But you can still put up a moniker.
Yeah, and no one cares that much because there's so many other people. If you were the only one doing it, I'm sure you'd have a target on your back. But it's like there are so many people out there doing it. There are so many people out there doing it anonymously that it's like no one's even like – no one thinks twice about it. No one's turned off by it. Yeah.
And in reality, I'm not doing anything illegal. Mm-hmm. I'm only taking – and for me, it really just started out as me just logging my grow. You know, just posting my photos every day. I'd get up, I take my pictures in the morning with my coffee before work, and I'd post my photos on Instagram, and then I would go to work, and I would do my work thing, and I'd probably check, you know, I might check some stuff in the middle of the day or occasionally between meetings and stuff. It became a little bit of a problem towards the end there. And then I would check again. I'd come home, I would check my plants again, and I would, you know, maybe check another, you know, maybe take another picture or two, post another picture. And that was pretty much part of the routine. I was really just posting what I was doing, talking about what I was doing. But I think a lot of it had to do with really being responsive to people, answering mm-hmm. questions, being honest, and really, I'm just me.
Authentic. Joke.
Yeah, well, I joke. It's really easy to build a brand when you don't have a product. I also started the other thing that I spent a lot of time doing was started going to events. So I started going to I went to the Harvest Cup in Worcester, which was one of the first cannabis industry events I went to, and my mind was blown. That was the one where I'm like, this is where I really need to start spending more energy.
You guys on the East Coast have a bunch of really cool stuff going on, and then that must have inspired you because you do all sorts of meetups and grow and tells and stuff. Why don't you tell my audience really quick about the grow and tells and then also about your work with vets?
Right. So also fantastic. One of my favorite things that's just come out of all this wonderful thing that the plant has given me. I started going to CannaCon, NECAN, Harvest Cup, all these things. And eventually I started meeting some of those seed vendors and breeders and actually spending time working at their booths, helping them sell seeds and talking to people. And it was a great way for people in the community to come find me who knew me from Instagram. So I'd be in like one spot. They could all come find me. We could, you know, trade nugs and talk about it and let them sniff my jars so they could actually smell and taste and touch what they had been seeing on Instagram and give them some stickers and a couple nugs to take home. Cause again, I can give it out all I want. And the thing that was bothering me though is I wasn't having good long conversations with people about growing. It was too far between. We need to meet monthly.
Longer meetings and more frequently.
Right. I want to get together with a couple of people and hang out and just talk about growing for a couple hours once a month. So I talked with my wife about it. I'm like, you know, I've been thinking about doing this. Is this okay? You know, she's like, yeah, it's good because it's on the schedule. It's on a calendar. She knows it's coming. She can plan. She's like, I know I'm not getting fed that night. because I do all the cooking. But it's nice. It's a great, it's because of the consistency, it allows people to schedule, and it allows, I think it's a great way to also help build momentum. So I just posted, I said, hey, I'm going to, and it was on, it was kind of the week, a week ahead. I said, hey, I'm going to, it's the second Thursday of the month. I'm going to go ahead and do a event tonight. So if anybody wants to come hang out and talk about growing and, you know, smoke and sniff my jars and all that stuff, come on down. And I got, there happened to be some other people at the Summit Lounge that night, but I got about 10, 15 people who just came to come hang out that [S2] Nice. [S1] Were local. So it was great. I had a lot of fun. And of course I had, you know, a couple new real close friends that, that I knew that also grew that I could talk to. Wow. The seed, the germ of a community. Right. Yeah. And, again, getting back to what I said earlier, I didn't really have a lot of friends, a lot of people I could hang out with and just, hey man, you want to go meet up at the Summit and go hang out for a while.
That's good for your social life too. That's a good point, having these like-minded individuals. Now, is this the same place, same time every month? The Summit, you said the Summit Club? Is the Summit,
Summit Lounge.
At the second Thursday of every month?
Yeah, the second Thursday of every month from 7 to 10 p.m.
Nice. And that's not too far away from Boston, right?
It's about 35-40 minutes
west. That's nothing. It's totally worth it.
It's halfway in between Springfield and Boston. So if you're even out west, you can come shoot the other direction and get right to Worcester. Worcester's kind of the center of the universe for cannabis in Massachusetts, actually. It's where the Cannabis Control Commission is. That's where there's more license requests and approvals.
Interesting.
It's, you know, the Western communities, both Central Mass and Western communities, have really, those are the communities that really were hurt a lot by the lack of mills being shut down.
Right.
And,
so
all of industry moving away. And so they have all these big old mills that people are setting up grows and extraction facilities.
That's
and all
incredible.
These other things. So it's really exploding. But they're also the communities of, you know, that are more disenfranchised because they had higher crime rates and more people put in jail and those types of things. So that's actually where the money should be going. That's where the licenses should be going.
That's really interesting.
To these businesses out here. So Worcester is actually kind of where it's really happening.
I want to take a left turn here then.
I want to
move into your work with, you know, the veterans charities.
Absolutely.
And stuff, but really quick,
yep.
Does it surprise you that mass legalized? Like, let me put it this way: if you turn back
yes.
the clock, yeah,
I'm
right. If you turn back the clock,
legalized
totally.
Anybody if you, California, to be honest with you,
California, Colorado, Washington. If you're looking at the sports betting website, if you're looking at Bovada, and you're looking at which state legalizes next, Massachusetts had to have been way the fuck down there. What
yeah.
prompted that? I mean, there must. I have no idea what prompted it.
I don't know. It is a really. Coming from New York, it's a very strange, and I come from just north of New York City. My dad owned a restaurant in New York City, so I come from a very liberal New York City background, right? Massachusetts is really colonial thinking in many ways.
Yeah, totally. That's true. That's a good point.
It's so strange. They have all these really, really fantastic colleges and universities, and they have Harvard and these really liberal thinkings and MIT and all this other stuff. And then they just have some really closed-minded people thinking. And you go to some of these really high racism values and
right.
you know, the Red Sox were the last team in the league to integrate, fully
right.
integrate. And it's all this crazy dichotomy.
So yeah, super strange clash.
Yeah. So I'm super surprised, but so thankful.
Yeah, totally. And it's funny you mentioned New York. They probably did it somewhat to spite New York, because New York is full of fucking smokers. It's full of potheads.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
full of growers. They need to get their shit together, man.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah, for my state that I was born in, man. They need to get their shit together.
So maybe Boston was like, we'll stick it to those fucking New Yorkers a little bit.
Yeah.
That was part of it.
So,
I'm going to say that was part
of
it.
So yeah, I mean, so really it's just been a tremendous, tremendous change in my life. And I want to talk about it, but we'll talk about, you know, it really, the thing that I found, the biggest difference between now, when growing originally and growing now, is that when you grow in a legal state, you don't have stress about it.
Yes, absolutely.
And so it actually becomes therapeutic.
Oh yeah, which is what it was
okay.
intended to be.
Which is what any, you know, growing any plant is therapeutic.
Big
but when
time.
You actually grow a plant that means this much to you, that you can get so much out of, that can become your medicine,
mm-hmm.
it is so unbelievably therapeutic. And what I found was I would, and I really, towards the end there, and I'm not actually working right now. I'm doing some side consulting work, but I'm not actually working right now. I've left the IT industry because I was miserable.
Good
for
you, man.
Absolutely miserable. I hated my job. I hated going in. All I was doing was going in and sitting in meetings for 6 to 8 hours a day, doing work for people who didn't appreciate any of it and just getting shit on all the time. I had 35, 40 people reporting to me. We were trying to do great things and nobody cared about what we were trying to do. And a lot of people were trying to stop us. The politics, the fighting, all that stuff was just life draining.
Jeez.
But I used to come home and I would just open up the tent and all that would go away.
Right.
But the problem was, I would go to work and then all I would start thinking about was the cannabis industry.
Right. Why aren't I just doing that full time?
Why am I doing this? Why am I not home with my plants? Why am I not out trying to make something happen? Why am I not spending my time and energy to people who don't deserve it and something that's making me miserable?
100%, man. Those are very valid and deep thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. So the therapeutic nature of it is really what kicked off a little just idea in my head about, helping other people. You know, I love to help other people grow. And that's part of the reason why I think I have a lot of followers as well. And I answer every question anybody ever asks me. Every post I give shares almost every ingredient I'm using, the size of my tent, the type of light I'm using, the type of soil, everything's there. It's all for the taking. I do, because I'm a data guy, I did my actual specialty is data warehousing. I'm a spreadsheet maniac. I do everything in spreadsheets. I send my spreadsheets out to people if they ask me. I email them to them so that they can use them. I leave a lot of my data in there so they can actually see what I'm doing, just so they know how I'm using it, what I'm using it for, and all that stuff, because I'm a planning nut. When it comes to spreadsheets and things like that, because I truly believe that you need to write down and track what you're doing. But that therapeutic nature and then the grow and tell audience and community that I started building together just made me really want to help this group of people that I had been talking to at some of the events, which was Neva. Mm-hmm. So at all of the NECANs and CannaCons and Harvest Cups and all those things I've been going to, I kept going to this booth that was hosted by a group called NEVA, which is the New England Veterans Alliance. And they're just a fantastic group of pro-cannabis vets.
Nice.
They're a full charity. They have their 503B or whatever those initials numbers are.
Right.
But they're a full nonprofit, fully certified, tax exempt, all those things. And they are all about helping vets. Many times it's just getting cannabis to vets from other vets that grow their own.
Right.
So if there's somebody who's having some problems and they need some medicine, they get help. Okay. It's a community of people that really, really needs our help. Between the problems with something I heard, like 22 vets a day kill themselves.
Jesus.
Because of PTSD and depression and some of those other things that happen to these folks that serve our country. You know, you're most folks go into the military to give of themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not, you know, granted there was times when people were drafted, and sometimes people go in because they like military stuff. They want to go shoot tanks or fly planes or whatever.
But listen, it's no cakewalk. They give up more of themselves than they take out.
Hell yes.
Every
hell
time.
Yes. It's a sacrifice, right? They're sacrificing their time with their families. They're sacrificing their start in their lives, in their livelihoods, because while they're off running around doing training and doing all those other things, other people are going to college and working and starting 100%. Their careers. So they lose, many of these guys lose 5-10 years of their initial working time even. So when they come back, a lot of the jobs they get are not always great jobs.
Yeah, totally.
Like correction officers.
Prime of their life too. That they're
correction officers, ambulance, fire departments, all these security, all these, you know, jobs. And of course, there's obviously they're in all fields. They aren't necessarily the highest paying jobs, and they're very stressful jobs.
Yes, that's true too.
Some of the vets I talk to actually have more PTSD from being in the fire department than they do from being vets.
That's so crazy. Yeah, that makes sense too, especially if they had been wired that way and then now they're in this new situation without having processed a lot of the issues. That's a really good point. Yeah.
Right. So I kept going by their booth and just dropping cash and seeds and buds in their box and just talking to these guys and going by and saying, "Hey, how you doing? Here's some buds. Go enjoy. Please enjoy it. You know, take it, you know, do what you guys need with this." And I dropped off 40 packs of seeds one time that somebody had given me to give away, just sharing and giving back. Right. Mm-hmm. And around the third or the fourth grow and tell, I was talking with Kyle, who's the manager of the Summit Lounge and the owner of Summit Lounge. And I said, you know, can we start maybe taking some of the door fee and donating it to Neva? And he's like, yep, absolutely. And we don't charge money for the grow and tell, right? The grow and tell actually is free. It's just a gathering. It's a community event. I'm not charging any money for it. You pay if you're not a member of the summit, you have to become a member of the summit. It's $15 a month. You can pay the one-time $15 a month, and you're a $15 fee, and you're now a member for that 1 month. Or you can sign up and pay a monthly fee, but then
that's
you pay $5, right? And then you pay $5 a month per visit. If you're actually a recurring member, my sponsors actually subsidize it, so you actually come for free. They cover the $5 cost, so that's my sponsors get away really, really cheap. They only have to spend a couple bucks each month, and I blast
that's
their
really
names.
Cool.
But they cover the cost of the people who are recurring members, encouraging people to become recurring members of the summit because I want the summit to be there and popular and used and for them to last, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's important.
Fantastic venue.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic venue.
Okay, before we get back to Hota Herb, let's give a little love to Cultilux, everybody. Today's sponsor is Cultilux. Go to Cultilux.com, Cultilux.com. Promo code GROWCAST10 gets you 10% off your light fixtures, and members of MyGrowPass.com get 25% off their light fixtures. Plus, they're giving away a CMH fixture to one of our members. Cultilux is the leading supplier in the industry dedicated to CMH lamps and fixtures. You guys have heard of the CMH spectrum. It's amazing for terpene production and flowering, and Cultilux has a great 315-watt, 630-watt, and brand new 1,000-watt double-ended CMH bulbs available. It's incredible, and you can get them at Cultilux.com. Promo code GROWCAST10 for 10% off just for listening. Listen, their company thrives on developing innovative products to support their customers in maximizing growth and profits. And their high-efficiency LECs are prominent for their unique wattage, CRI, PAR value, lumen output, and overall lighting performance. So check it out, everybody. Cultilux.com, promo code GROWCAST10 for 10% off, and MyGrowPass.com to save 25%. All right, everyone, let's get back to the show. I think that there's quite a deeper running repercussion to this. And let me try to, you know, articulate this thought that I'm having, which is, I'm all for charity. I'm all for collaboration, helping those in need. But there's also a bigger beneficial, like grander scheme going on here. And let me try to explain it. When the powers that be are only interested in power and money and basically exchanging their power, their votes for money, there are very few things that can fight back against that. And one of the things that really has historically done a great job pushing back against that is public opinion. And there are certain hot button topics around public opinion that no politician, no matter how weaselly and slimy, can escape the wrath of. One of those things is veteran affairs. Like, that is one
of the live wire issues.
Exactly. It is a live wire. Now, if you want to be Mr. Close-minded cannabis, you know, cannabis kills or whatever, cannabis is bad for our kids, you know, go ahead and make your hollow points. But if there are people like the NEVA, you know, NEVA associations out there doing what they're doing and associating the care of cannabis and the medicinal properties of cannabis with PTSD, with healing veterans, that really, really provides some firepower for the community. It's a win-win-win, and you can't suppress that. If you suppress that, then you are truly showing yourself as a discompassionate, evil individual who doesn't care about the people who are sacrificing their lives to protect your country. And I don't want to seem cynical. That's why I started with the most important thing is that you're helping these veterans and that we're getting medicine in their hands. But there is there is a much deeper running thing here, which is nobody can deny this. You're giving power to the movement that really can't be stopped or replicated in any other way.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, they get the same treatment by the other big name veteran organizations, right? They don't let them put a booth up next to them. It's not like they let them participate in all the other veterans events and things that are going on. This is a grassroots organization that has had to do it themselves, has had to fight every step of the way, and they will continue to fight for their right to medicate themselves with the thing that they know helps them.
Exactly. They know, and they're not going to take shit. You know what I mean?
Right,
because they know the position that they're in. Like, producer Ben talks about it all the time. He did tours in Afghanistan clearing IEDs, and he talks about the VA's kind of loosey-goosey boots on the ground stance when it comes to cannabis use, MDMA use to clear some of this PTSD. Like, they have their policies.
Psilocybin
use. They have their policies in place, but then there's like what's actually happening, because it's so easy to like drop the hammer and enforce bureaucratic bullshit on some average person. Like, sorry, like this is the way it is. But if in order to do that to a veteran's face, that takes a certain type of person. And there aren't a lot of people out there who can do that. So so I hope that was a poignant point. Yeah. I'm making sense here.
Absolutely. And so I started doing, because I get so much swag and free stuff from people in the industry, as my Instagram following grew, obviously I've gotten more opportunities to acquire things from people, and people send me stuff just to give away because it's, hey, he's going to go ahead and give it out and they'll get
totally,
the posts.
You're an influencer.
Absolutely. So another one of those fun terms.
Oh, master grower influencer. Can you please change your Instagram bio?
Influencer. Exactly.
Hota, change your Instagram profile to master grower /influencer / blowhard.
Absolutely. We'll talk about why it's set to photographer in the shadow ban stuff another day. So I started doing these raffles, and what was amazing is actually how much money I was collecting at the raffles.
Right.
I didn't expect it. And a couple of, most of the raffles were bringing in $300 to $500 every month. And so we gave, you know, the first check Kyle and I gave NEVA and Derek, who's the guy who's really the heart and soul of the NEVA organization, was a $1,200 check. I'm like, wow, I've never raised $1,200 for anybody.
Yeah, man, it's a fucking good feeling.
I've given money to WGBH and, you know, other charities, and you get people at work who hit you up. He's like, hey, I'm going to
do the
one
the $15 check. Yeah.
So here you go. But I've never personally been a fundraiser like that since, in college I was in a fraternity and I was the push chairman for a little while, which was basically a lot of us standing on street corners and asking people for money. But basically I haven't really done a lot of charity work. I haven't raised a lot of money, and it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I have all this money. And I gave them the check, and Derek said to me, okay, so what do you want us to do with this money? I said, obviously I want to help veterans grow their own, because that's what I believe in.
Yeah.
Right. That's what my Instagram post is about. It's about, you know, growing the best money, growing the best weed that money can't buy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Growing my own. I know exactly what went into it. I know where it came from. It's clean sourced, artisanal, whatever you want to call it.
Boxes you want to check.
Yeah, exactly.
Check whatever boxes you want. You're right.
Right, but it's you when you grow your own, you get an understanding and a respect for the plant on a completely different level. Mm-hmm. And I have a firm belief, and this has always been my belief, even back in the crazy days when we used to talk about just throwing seeds from the car as we drove, was that if everybody grew their own, it would be legal and free.
Exactly. Exactly, man. I'm all for
because,
that.
Because we would have so much, nobody would care. There would be, you know, tomatoes in people's driveways and cannabis right next to it because they had so much that they were just willing to share with the people next door whose, you know, squirrels or rabbits may have gotten theirs.
Overgrow the nation, man. We've exactly. talked about it on this show. And yes. I am all for that. And I know that yes. not everybody likes that idea, to be yep. honest. But
I don't like being put up on the pedestal. I'm relatively, you know, humble type of a person, but I do like putting myself up there to show and inspire others to do this themselves at home, because it's really not,
Hell yeah, man.
It's not that hard. Everybody gets very, very complicated, and you know, granted I know a lot about growing because I spend a lot of time reading about it mm-hmm. and learning about it and all those things, but in general it is a really, really vibrant plant that's kind of survived by itself.
Yes.
It grows in the sewers in New yes. York City, right?
100%.
It grows
there's a lot
anywhere.
To learn, but it
sure
anyone can do it,
right?
Maybe
right.
not great, but anyone can do it.
Right, right. You know, I think that's, I keep a set of tips that I give people, you know, because I like people to just be simple. It's not about some complex techniques. And, you know, I just spent a whole bunch of time learning a whole new level of stuff as well. And we can talk about that in a second. But I think it's really important for people to keep things simple, right?
Yes.
These are my 7 tips, right? So keep a journal of what you do and when you do it. Right. Whether you write it on a calendar or you write it in a notepad or what you do, just write it down.
Love it.
I smoke a lot and I can't remember if I fed it yesterday, what I fed it 3 days ago. Did I feed it 3 days ago? Was it 2 days ago? Just write it down, man.
Oh, man.
Save yourself
so
the brain
important.
Power.
And you know, stoners have this especially, but I'm telling you, everyone needs to do this. I know so right. many ineffective sober people in my life who are like, all right, I made a mental note and it never fucking gets done.
No.
Writing shit down is a game changer.
Right. Walk by the calendar and put a W on it because you watered it.
Yeah, big time. I like that.
Don't make too many changes at once. This is the biggest mistake most new growers do. And they want that silver bullet product. So they get convinced that this is the thing I got to go buy because they saw it on Instagram or they saw it at the grow store. Or this person told them that they had to use it. They went out and they got it and they threw it on their plant. And then they said, oh, you know what? I'm also going to do this. And I'm going to move my light up because so-and-so said that my light was too close. And I'm also going to, you know, mm-hmm. change the way that I water. And suddenly you don't know what worked and what didn't work.
Change
you did
too many factors
changes.
At once.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So change one thing and figure out whether it worked or not, and then try something else.
Mm-hmm.
There are no silver bullets out there. I don't want to, you know, those things don't work anyway. You're not going to find that thing on the shelf that you're going to bring home and is going to make a million difference for you. Sorry, it just
that.
Doesn't exist.
I love that change one thing at a time tip.
Right, so change one thing and, you know, write down. Today, I gave a new type of magnesium to this plant that I haven't used before.
Right.
Right, and do it on one plant if you can. If you can isolate, do it on only one plant.
Now that's better if you can do multiple tests for multiple splits.
Sure.
Now, producer Rob Smith's head is his voice is ringing in my head right now.
We just released
a grow journal for mygrowpass.com, and yes. I think that we're going to be giving away like a sample. So stay tuned for that. Yeah, grow journals are what's up, and we put one together.
Absolutely.
So yeah,
that's
I highly recommend
that's awesome.
That. That's great.
Yes, put in the time. and treat them with care. I think there's a lot of master growers on Instagram who spend more time making memes than actually caring for their plants.
Yeah, man, this is something that surprises me. Like, I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of lazy growers. I don't know if, yeah, there's a lot of lazy growers out there.
So I, you know, check your plants as often as possible. Twice a day works for me. Like I said, I like to check them in the morning before I went to work, and I like to check them in the evening when I came home from work.
Yeah, that's simple.
So number four is enjoy, right? This is supposed to be an enjoyable hobby. Read, learn, follow other growers on Instagram, see what they do, ask questions.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Ask the same question to three or four different people and then think about which one kind of makes sense and try it.
Yes.
Don't just listen to one person. Number five, measure your ingredients. Mm. That was a huge mistake I used to make in the beginning. Was like, oh, let's just dump a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It looks about the same. Wow. We're good. When I first started growing many years ago, I was in my early 20s.
The hubris that comes with that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Measure your ingredients. And the other thing is, don't measure your ingredients over the pot you're mixing them in.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Because if you over pour that teaspoon or tablespoon or whatever you're using, it's just going to go in your big bucket. And then why were you measuring? So
that's just totally a nice little tip.
Number six, keep a checklist of chores for your garden, right? Everybody should have a checklist of chores. I know I said that, and then I had one grower go, what are you doing? My wife's standing right here. have a checklist of chores, right? You know, once a week, I like to clean the fans. I check this. I pull the plants out once a month and clean the bottom. You know, have a checklist of chores that you like to do, things you like to check. You know, I check the fan. I check the humidity. I check the temperature. Make 100%. Sure you have that checklist of things that you should check every day that you should be watching. And then this is the last one on the list, but it is actually the most important, which is there's two extremely important skills or qualities that we need as growers. And one of them, the most important, is patience.
Ooh, I love that.
Right. And the second is perseverance. Mm-hmm. Because if it doesn't work, you got to keep trying. Don't give up. But patience is really the big one, you know, back to a lot of these other points. People want to go get that silver bullet. They see that I got a leaf that looks a little yellow. Shit. I go to the grocery store. You know, so-and-so online said it's a calcium deficiency, even though it was a yellow leaf, which is not a calcium deficiency. And they went and they got a bunch of calcium and they threw it on their plant. And then suddenly they caused some other problems because they now got lockout. And then they changed two or three different things at the same time because they were panicked because they had a yellow leaf.
Right. Exactly.
You probably should have just let the plant go and maybe just gave it some water.
Exactly. Maybe flushed it. Yeah.
Right. You know, Dr. Elaine Ingram talks about the fact that the soil microbiology and the plant are interacting at millions and millions of microseconds.
Jesus
right?
Christ.
The plant itself sends out communication to tell the microbiology in the soil what type of nutrient it needs at that quite point in time. It says, hey, I need some nitrogen. Boom, jeez. Boom, boom, boom. And so it attracts the microbiology that it needs that converts nitrogen in the soil into a in-between medium that the plant can actually absorb. Mm-hmm. And the plant, you know, the plant releases sugars and carbohydrates, cookies and cakes, as she says, to attract that type of microbiology. And then that microbiology provides the nitrogen to the plant. The plant says, thank you. And then it moves on. By the time you see that yellow leaf, that shit happened a week ago.
Right.
You're not treating that leaf or that symptom. The plant has probably moved on. Now, granted, if it's continuing and getting worse, that plant probably has some deficiencies you need to deal with. But I think many times people just want to react and treat that, deficiency. They want to grow by treating the symptoms instead of actually treating preventively.
Yes, 100%. And I think that just comes with, you know, kind of gaining the knowledge as it goes. But that was such a great example, man, because you made a deep kind of scientific point, but the example you used was so common. That's literally what I see people doing all the time, which is they see some sort of discoloration on their plant. They want to add a product to get rid of it. When in reality, what they should probably do is hit it with some plain water or like some kangaroo roots or something. I'm sorry, right. some sledgehammer or something.
Something, you know.
I don't know.
And that really leads to my journey from, you know, I started as an ebb and flow and a hydroponic and a very inorganic type of a grower, And when I came back, as I said, you know, we originally learned that the soil stuff just tasted better. So when I came back, I'm like, I'm just growing for myself. I want the stuff that tastes really good. And I'm not growing for yield. I'm not growing to
make
funny
money. How that works, right?
I just care about growing really, really, really good stuff that I want to smoke, stuff that I want to smoke all the way to the end of that joint.
Exactly.
Stuff that I give to somebody or I smoke with somebody and they go, damn, what the hell did you do? Oh my God, the terpenes are out of this world. That's what I like, right? That's all it's about to me. I'm growing for my own enjoyment.
Yes.
I don't care about my yield. People ask me, what'd you yield on that plant? Like, sometimes I don't even freaking weigh it. I don't care. Sometimes I, you know,
so true. Dude. And you know, it's, I think that came with legalization as well, because potency also, I'm surprised at how hard of a hit potency took. So, okay. So everything legalizes. So of course yield is going to be less important, because you're just not, you can grow as many fucking plants as you want. You can keep growing it. There's no risk. Yield isn't as important. I'm surprised at how people don't care as much about potency. They're after flavor. They're after aroma. They're after variety, and they're after things that they've never seen before, uniqueness.
I'm hoping we're over that curve, right? That chasing that 30% and above THC number that doesn't really provide you with any enjoyment. We're getting away from the true nature of the plant, right? There's you know, there's that 12% strain that's going to get you higher than anything you've ever smoked in your life.
100%, yeah.
Cannabinoid balance and the terpene balance was something that actually made such a difference to you in the way your makeup is.
It's even changing the word high because you're not as incapacitated maybe, but it's so well balanced and so clean and clear that you're feeling things that you've never felt before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why Blue Dream, for instance, is really popular in Silicon Valley, because it's a type of cannabis that you can focus on, you know, what you're doing and like sit there and code for hours on end and nobody really cares. And you just sit there and drink energy drinks and just smoke it. And it kind of keeps you mellow and you're cool and you get into the zone and you go. And there's, you know, there's different areas of the country that have different likes because of some of the makeup of the society around
the culture,
it.
Yeah.
The culture will actually impact the types of flavors and stuff. We, you know, in the Northeast here, we get a lot of, everybody loves that sour diesel.
Yeah, man, New York sour diesel. That's no joke.
New York sour diesel, East Coast sour diesel. There's a million of them. Chem Dog he's a Massachusetts guy. The Chem Dog, he lives in Western Mass. That's, you know, you get much more chem than that, right?
You guys love that nasty smelling stuff. I know the Michigan
there's
growers.
There's a ton of GMO going around right now, too.
Yeah,
the GMO's
gaseous.
Huge.
Stuff.
Yes.
The Michigan
yes.
growers I found, and this may be a few years old by now, but I feel like Tangy. Every time I talk to a Michigan grower, it's Tangy, 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 which is a strain that I love personally. And if I remember correctly, it's pretty high in CBD.
It can be.
I think
It can be. It really depends on the pheno.
Right. And if you let that CBD production go long enough.
Yeah. So I've been, getting back into growing, you know, the first thing I wanted to do is find the right genetics. So I focused on, that's why I focused on meeting breeders and seed companies. When I first started going to events was because I wanted to get back to the genetics. I didn't understand what the hell the genetics were. If you grew Skunk One by Skunk One, Skunk One by Northern Lights 5, hash plant from Netherlands in the early 90s, and then put yourself in a time capsule like I did for 20 years and came back, and somebody said, hey, do you want to grow cookies? I said, what the fuck is a cookie? I don't get that. I don't understand. What is a cookie? What's a sherbet? What's a gelato? None of this stuff makes any sense to me. Somebody help me out. Why are you selling something called Granny's Panties? I'm sorry. What's going on here?
It's hilarious.
Yeah. So I didn't have a genetic language. I spent a lot of time trying to understand the lineage so I could try to find some of the flavors and the things of my youth and try to get an understanding of how to pick genetics and things that I would try to grow. It was a really, really interesting, reintroduction to the industry. And I was fortunate enough to, get hooked up with a couple just fantastic folks. Tom from Green Team Genetics, kind of really spent a lot of time helping me out. I worked his booth, helped him out, and he's given me some just fantastic seeds to grow, some awesome testers and clones and other stuff to grow. And I just love the terpenes on his stuff. And, Mosca Negra, who's just an amazing guy. Both of those guys have been doing it for over 10 years. They're serious breeders with serious companies. They believe in breeding for stability and flavor and terpenes and, very, very much their own guys doing their own things, not necessarily chasing a lot of the hype. And super generous, super beautiful human beings. And I was able to get a lot of my re-education from those guys, talking with them, talking with Chris, Professor P, from Dynasty. Now I have an unbelievable network of people that I know that I can just reach out to and talk with anytime I have a question, which is just unbelievably valuable.
Yeah, that's incredible, man. Well, before we wrap it up, why don't you give out maybe one or two strains? If someone's identifying with your kind of philosophy, what one or two strains would you recommend that performed incredible for you? Let's just say someone's like dying to pick a strain. Throw out two names right now by two breeders.
One of my favorites that I grew, and it just makes me happy when I smoke it, is Pie Tree from Green Team Genetics. And it is a cross of a lemon tree with his Pie 95. Which is just incredible, fruity, tasty, has a little bit of gas to it, but just a really positive, happy high. Anytime I smoke, I just have this big smile on my face all the time when I'm walking around the house. And then the other one right now, which I'm really enjoying, is Tasty Waves by Swamp Boys. So I have some tasty waves. Yeah, absolutely. I have one that's really nice and cured. It's about 3 weeks to a month cured. And I have another one that's sitting in the dark right now, ready to go. Fantastic genetics from Swamp Boys. And really just it's more of my evening smoke. It's a bit heavier. Definitely has a little bit of hammer to it. So I smoke that one in the evening because it definitely is my one to take me down for the night.
Fantastic.
But it's both of them are fantastic, really, really good breeders. That one has a bunch of Triangle Kush crosses in it, and a little bit of Landrace sprinkled in there. So really, really good, frosty, dense, probably something that would be good for pressing as well. Really, really tasty stuff.
Man, I feel like we're just getting started, so we're going to have to do another episode whenever you're free.
We didn't even talk about regenerative cannabis cultivation or K&F. I just spent 5 days learning from Chris Trump, K&F. Continuing on that journey, learning to grow healthier, better cannabis as I learn more about the balance of nature, the balance of microbial and fungal life in the soil. That's what K&F is all about. It's about balance and returning balance to nature. And when you do that, the natural things happen and take care of your problems. You don't need to deal with pests as much. You don't need to deal with weeds as much, or if you have them, they're just not a nuisance. They're just there.
Right.
Suddenly, a lot
of the problems disappear.
Absolutely. And it's amazing what just a couple of sprays of some good K&F organic nutrients on your crops and your stuff.
We got to talk about it long form, man. We'll do an hour on it.
You have to appreciate a nutrient line that you can pretty much drink and consume every bit of it yourself.
That's definitely something you're not going to want to do with your traditional bottled nutrients.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
it says something about the toxicity level or lack thereof.
Yes, absolutely. It's natural. It's actually good for you. Natural ferments like kombucha and stuff are really big
I've heard it, man. I don't know if I want to try that FFJ, but...
Yeah, no, it's actually... There's some amazing ones. Some of it's like pears and bananas and just delicious.
Interesting.
Stuff.
All right. I'm interested. But yeah. Seriously, thank you so much, Hota Herb.
Like,
this was really,
you.
Really great.
Thank you. I'm honored to have been interviewed, and I'm so excited to be on this podcast.
Yeah,
this
man.
Is awesome. Really great. Rob Smith is a good friend of mine as well. And I'm excited for helping you guys out, and I'm happy to come on anytime you need somebody. I'm more than willing to do it again.
We'll take you up on it, man.
I definitely am, and we'll chat separately as well, hopefully sometime as well.
100%. I would love to come out and come to one of these events if I'm on the East Coast. Now that I'm in the I'm in the Midwest, so Boston is much more accessible.
Yep.
And you and I also got to talk about Neva and hooking up.
Yes.
Because listeners may remember last year I was crushing No Limit Hold'em. I was donating to a bunch of different charities. Donated a bunch of money. Never ended up doing a veterans charity. So I'm looking to bump that up in 2020.
Right.
I'm going to hook up with Jinx. I'm going to hook up with you. We're going to do some like collaborations with our charities.
Awesome. I know Jinx. Jinx is a fantastic guy. Super good. I always hand him $100 every time I see him as well for his autism charity. The stuff he does is fantastic. But Neva has now our VCP, our Veterans Cultivation Program, launches on Veterans Day, and we're going to be launching with the we're going to be launching with the first set of five veterans who are going to get full entire grow kits, tent, light, soil, nutrients, everything, plus some MTG donated presidential kush. So they're all going to get to grow the same stuff with the same gear from I'm working on it with HTG Supply. They're helping in kick in some of the gear that we're going to be purchasing. And then we have some grow mentors that are actually going to be working and teaching these guys how to grow. And then they're all going to get together on a bi-monthly basis so that they get community, they get therapy. So they're getting therapy from learning to grow their plant themselves. They're getting to meet other vets that are interested in, and they're actually doing the same thing, so they can actually interact with the same gear and the same seeds and the same plant. And then they can all actually have a group of people that they know who are doing the same thing as them, and they can actually build that community, which are one of those things that help bring people back from the margins. Everything I'm doing and most of my focus has been about building community to try to bring people out of the margins, to bring the closeted growers like myself out, but to also bring these veterans and stuff back, give them somebody to talk to, somebody they can hang out with so that they don't go to some of these other drastic options, right?
That's absolutely
true. They need to feel a sense of belonging. They need to have a sense of purpose. So all of those things are part of what that program's about and why I'm so passionate about helping those guys and doing that stuff. So
where can my listeners show love? Does Neva have an Instagram? They have to document this.
They do. Okay, so it is New England's Veterans Alliance is their main account on Instagram. They also have their new VCP program, if you want to watch it, is Cultivate or Die. So at Cultivate or Die is the Instagram account for the VCP program. And of course, I'm at Haute Herb on Instagram, and I'm on Twitter as well. Actually, I've been tweeting some links to my Instagram stuff on Twitter as well. So
nice.
I'm there. Yep.
At Haute Herb, JOTAHERB.
Correct.
And at Growcast on Instagram, at Jordan River IG to find my account. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. MyGrowPass.com for the membership program. Loving the discounts and all the fun stuff we're doing there. This is Haute Herb and Jordan River signing off. Thanking you so much for listening, saying be safe and grow smarter. All right, everyone, that wraps up our show. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to get some GrowCast merch, you can find it at GrowCastPodcast.com. Click the merch tab. Always appreciate you guys checking that out. MyGrowPass.com for the membership program. Jay Blanked did the beat for the ads. If you want to check out Jay Blanked on this beat, he's everywhere, including SoundCloud. And finally, shout out to Start2Finish. Start, the number 2, Finish 710 on Instagram for all your consulting needs. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Best of luck in your grows. Happy growing, everyone. Bye-bye.